John chapter number 14, we're going to begin at verse number 1, read down just a few verses, and I'm going to have you jump ahead into the chapter, so I'll give you some direction there. John chapter number 14, and then we're going to, after we read what we need to in this chapter, go to John 15 and John 16. All they're pretty close together, and I want to direct your attention to a specific title that is assigned to the third person of the Trinity. I want to preach on this subject this morning, the Comforter, the Comforter. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if you'll go ahead to verse number 16, Jesus continues the conversation with the disciples. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then verse number 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Chapter 15, if you look at verse number 26 and verse 27 of chapter 15. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Then one more verse, John 16 and verse number 7, John 16 and verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Notice that. Jesus' words, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious words of the Bible. And thank you for this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. Lord, they've left the upper room, and he's implemented the Lord's Supper, and he's washed the disciples' feet, and now he is walking towards Gethsemane, and Lord, soon he'll be arrested, and then the mockery of the false trials, and then the crucifixion, and then the burial, then the resurrection, and Lord, now we know, of course, that he sits on high at the right hand of the Father. But Lord, here he is, just on his way to those things. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we listen in and as we learn from the conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, that we would learn something about the Holy Spirit of God that would be a help to us in the days to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the fundamental doctrines of the Bible that's come under intensified attack in the last 100 years is the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity. Say, preacher, is God one God? Yes, he is. The Bible affirms that. Yet God chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities, three distinct persons. Now, preacher, that's tough for me to comprehend. Aren't you glad you have a God that is beyond your human comprehension? A lot of times, pseudo-intellectuals, one of the hardest people to reach in this world today is somebody who's convinced themselves that they are an intellectual. Because if you read 1 Corinthians, you'll find out that the wisdom of man always is in contrast and conflict with the wisdom of God. But let me remind you that his ways are so far above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. Now, wait a minute. Let's just let that sink in. I don't care if your IQ is over 200. You know what? Folks, listen to me. You're a babbling idiot compared to a mighty God. And every once in a while, we just need to hit a reset button because we get to thinking too highly of ourselves. Folks, listen, his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. There's things that God is and that God knows that we cannot even begin to touch the hem of the garment of comprehension when it comes to God. And so what we do is we accept things by faith. Now, an intellectual don't want to talk about faith. They want to talk about the laboratory. They want to talk about comprehension. They want to talk about formulas because, again, they're pseudo-intellectuals. But let me just say this, folks, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And some things you just have to accept by faith. I accept the doctrine of the Trinity by faith. You say, preacher, give me a intellectual explanation of it. Well, we can try to give you some things that will help us a little bit, but folks, there is no illustration that's a perfect illustration. For instance, somebody says, well, the Trinity is like a rope. And you know what? It's one rope, but if you take the end of it and cut it and unwind it, it's actually three parts that make up one rope. Well, that's a pretty good illustration, but I think it's hard to reduce God to a rope. Some people would say, well, it's like water, you know, ice and then liquid and then steam. And even though there's three different forms it takes, it's all water. And again, those things are helpful. I think it helps us. But pretty soon we have to just step back and say, we accept that God is one. And we accept that God is one, three in one, just because the Bible teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this doctrine has come under attack. God chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities with our limited intellect and understanding. It's hard for man to comprehend the idea of three in one, a three in one, one in three God, but that is the triune God. Despite our limited ability to explain the triune God, he nevertheless exists. Today, I'd like to draw your attention to the least mentioned, least admired, and least appreciated member of the Trinity. Today, I'd like to speak to you about the person of the Holy Spirit of God and one aspect of who he is and what he offers to us. Jesus is preparing to die on the cross. He'll rise 3 days later, then extend his ministry for 40 days after his resurrection, but Christ's time on earth is winding down. This announcement in John chapter number 14 causes the disciples to be troubled. That's why the chapter starts out with, "Let not your heart be troubled." In order to comfort them, Jesus teaches them on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane about the person of the Holy Spirit. Four different times in this conversation, he assigns an interesting and accurate title to the Spirit of God. Four different times, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. This song is about the Holy Spirit of God. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. I get sermon ideas in very strange ways. And I don't know how else to explain it to you. This idea captivated me just a few days ago, and I just cannot get it out of my mind. And it went from my mind to my heart, from my heart to the study, and now into a sermon form. But how many of you are excited about the little bit of a cold snap we've had? All right, there's some people that like it. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm not as much excited about what follows it, but I sure like the fall weather, and I really do like this type of weather. I sleep better when it's cool out. I work better when it's cool out. I don't know. I just feel better when it's cool out. But my wife is not of the same persuasion. She's kind of cold-natured. I think it starts in her heart and works out. I'm not sure exactly about that. But she's a little, I know, and I got to go home with her now. Pray for me, all right? But she uh, She's a little bit more cold natured and a lot less excited about the changing of the seasons. I got up the other morning, Saturday morning, I thought, boy, look at the temperature. It's going to drop down. I'm going to go deer hunting. And I prayed about it, got specific leading of the Holy Spirit to do that. And so set the alarm early on Saturday morning. Didn't have a lot of time. I had a lot to do, but I thought I'll sneak out for a couple hours. And I sure enough, I went out there. Now, I woke up, and it's 39 degrees when I got up. That's the first time it was in the 30s. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? 39 degrees. And I put on the appropriate clothing and got ready to go out. Now, I'm getting ready to leave my bedroom, and the alarm goes off, and I put everything in the other room. I try not to bother her, wake her up. And so the last thing I did was she looked like she was cold. And so I took the comforter that is on the end of our bed, okay? Now, I don't know how that became called, known as a comforter. I don't think any man would have known that that was the name of a blanket, except they get married and their wife then educates them that now this thing has progressed to the point where we call it a comforter. At one time, back in the days when men were men, it was just a bedroll, amen, you know, something you tied on the back of your saddle and took out into the wilderness. And then I don't know when it became a blanket, but somewhere along the line it became a blanket, and then, you know, then women started making them out of scraps of material, and it became a quilt, and finally it's progressed now today to be called, of all things, a comforter. And she woke, I seen that she was kind of balled up like she was cold, so the last thing I did was reach up and got the comforter and put it over her. And as I started to leave the room, I turned around and I seen her immediately relax and immediately go into a state of restfulness and immediately fall back into a deep sleep. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why am I not in that bed with her? What am I doing? And I shoved that thought away immediately, knowing that it came from the devil. And headed right out to my deer stand like a moron and sat out there and froze for the next couple hours. But isn't that something? The comforter. I want you to kind of keep that thought in the back of your mind. Folks, there is a member of the triune God whom God has sent into our lives and sent into our hearts to reside. And God, the Son of God, you know what he titled this third member of the Trinity? He titled him the Comforter. Not once, not twice, not three times, four different times. He calls the Holy Spirit of God the Comforter. I walked out of that room with that thought, the Comforter. And I took it to my deer stand and began to think about the Comforter. I got back to the office later on and looked it up in the Bible and began to read these scriptures and think about it and meditate upon it. Thank God. Thank God for the Comforter. Thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his presence in our life. Now, let me just stop and share something with you. You know what? Folks, listen to me. We all need a Comforter. But I will tell you this. There's no way to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. There's no way to have him become take up residence in your heart and your life without first being born again. You know what? The minute that you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, and you are indwelt by the third member of the triune God, whom Jesus calls the Comforter. And if you're trying to live this life lost, if you're trying to live this life without Jesus as your Savior, you are living in a way that God never intended or never wanted for you to try to live your life. We do need God. We do need God, and we need this important third person of the Trinity. Now, I began to meditate on this and think about this and think about this wonderful title, The Comforter. I began to hum and sing to myself throughout the last couple days, The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. And I began to think of all of the different times in my life when it became very important for me to have him in my life and the role that he has played in my life. And I think that as I share testimony, you'll relate as you look to your life. I'm so glad that I'm indwelt by the Comforter. Number one, let me say this. I'm comforted by his presence. Just by his presence. Just by him being there. Have you ever gone through a dark time in your life and maybe gone through a deep valley, maybe a time of loss and grief, and somebody comes along and just comes over, maybe a dear friend, maybe a family member, and they come over and maybe they don't say a word. They just sit beside you. They lay their hand upon you, and there is an extreme blessing, an extreme level of comfort that floods your soul just because of the presence that's of somebody there, somebody that cares, somebody that showed up. You know, for the Christian, we can have that 24/7. We don't have to wait to see if somebody opens the door and walks in. We are given by God, gifted by God, a comforter. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You know what Jesus was saying? Listen, you're grieving over the fact that I'm getting ready to leave the earth, but I'm going to give you a better deal than what you have. For 3 years, Jesus was with the disciples, but he was there in the form, in fleshly form. He took upon him humanity. And there was at times, if we'll read this, where he put the disciples in a boat and says, go, and sends them away, and he's not with them. There's times that they're in turmoil or trouble and he has to come to them. There's times that he sent them out two by two to preach without him. There's times that he came upon them and they're trying to do something and he's not there and they can't get it done. And they have to wait till he comes. Jesus said, listen, I'm going to give you a better deal than having me here. Because I'm here in fleshly form. I've come for the specific purpose of dying on the cross and paying for the sins of mankind. But if I depart, if I go away, I can send you another member of the Trinity that's just as much God as I am and just as much part of the Trinity as I am. Only he won't come and go. He's not going to be in human form. He's going to be in spirit form. And he's not going to be with you, beside you. He's going to be in you. Folks, listen to me. Having the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say this, is a better deal for us in this time in God's dispensation than if Jesus Christ walked the earth himself. And that's not me making that evaluation. That's Jesus himself making that evaluation. Now think about that. Let that sink in. His presence provides constant companionship. I'm so glad that no matter where I go, I have within me the Comforter. Can I say this, folks? Because of the fact that I've been willing to build a relationship with him, can I say this? I hope you'll understand it. I never feel alone. I remember one time I was visiting in Chicago and it was after dark. The sun had set. The city changes at night. It just does. I'm talking about the inner city. It's a different city in the daytime than it is at night. And we were out on a special day trying to get sign up people, and the visitation extended into the nighttime hours. The sun has set, and I'm over there on my bus route making some last visits, and a police car, Chicago police car, pulls up. And there's a black lady officer in the passenger seat, and she rolls down the window. And this is what she said. She said, "Hey, white boy, come here." That's exactly what she said to me. "Hey, white boy, come here." I looked around, thought, wow, okay. And so I went over and said, "Can I help you?" And she said, and she started laughing. She said, "What are you doing, number one, in this neighborhood this time of night, number two, by yourself?" And she worked there every day of the week. She knew some of the things that happened in the inner city, and she saw me, and she thought, that guy's nuts. He has no idea where he's at. I said, "Ma'am, I'm here every weekend. I'm here every Saturday and usually this late." And I said, "Let me tell you what I'm doing." And I tell her what I was doing, visiting and trying to get. And she said, and I said, "Ma'am." And she said, "I don't think you should be here by yourself." And I said, "Ma'am, I'm not by myself." That's exactly what I told her. "I'm not by myself." She looked around. I said, "Ma'am, I have the presence of God. I have God's promise that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." I said, "If you see me or guys like me running around in white shirts and ties this time of night with Bibles in our hands and flyers looking for kids," I said, "don't ever think we're alone. We're never alone." "Oh, preacher, I feel so lonely." Hey, listen, folks, come on. You can strike up a conversation with the Holy Spirit of God anytime you want to. You may feel lonely, but you're not alone. You may feel lonely, but that's because you're not accessing the relationship that's available. Are you listening to me? I'm tired of Christians feeling sorry. "Oh, I just need a friend." You got a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, come on now. I'm not a person that's plagued with feelings of loneliness. Maybe it's because very early on in my Christian life, God became real to me. And listen, God is with me. And the Jesus promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he said, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a triune member of the Holy Spirit of God to live within you. And you know what? I can carry on a conversation with God anytime, day or night. Watch this. That's better than the human form of Jesus being here on earth. Jesus said it himself. He said, listen, if I was here and if I stayed here, I could only be in one place at one time. But you know what? I'm going to send the Spirit of God and he's going to indwell you. And thank God. Thank you, God, for the comfort of his companionship. His presence provides constant companionship. His presence provide constant comfort. I'm going to read you a verse out of Ecclesiastes. If you'd like to take note of the reference or turn over, it's fine. But I'll read it to you. Ecclesiastes 4:1, one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Listen to these words. So I returned, Solomon wrote this, through the inspiration of God. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. Now here it is, watch this. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comfort. And that's the lost world right now. I go to funerals and I go to funerals and you can see, listen, you can visibly see the difference between lost people and saved people at funerals. It's not that we don't sorrow. The Bible says we sorrow. But we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. And the honest truth is Christians sorrow differently than lost people. You know why? Christians have a comforter. If you're lost, you don't have a... Hey, there's a lot of reasons to get saved, but I'm just giving you a pretty good reason right now. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? One of the fringe benefits of salvation is the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and you never have to spend another second of your time on earth by yourself without the presence of God in your life. What a deal, what a deal. How many would say this? Come on now. Preacher, there's been some things in my life that's brought me deep sorrow, but thank God I had a comforter. Would you raise your hand and join testimony? I mean, watch this. Young people, listen to this, and it's okay. It's all right. You're where you're at. But you're going to find out something. The older you get, the more heartaches you'll have to endure in life. Life for the young a lot of times is carefree, but with age comes increased blessings, yes, but also increased burdens. Sorrow is a real and relentless part of life. Let me say that again. Sorrow is a real and oftentimes relentless part of life. Sorrow increases with age, and it also increases in intensity. With every passing year, your appreciation for the comforter will increase in your life. Wasn't that many years ago now that we stood right here. We gathered right here in this auditorium, and I stood right where I'm standing, and there was a casket right here, and there was the body of my father. Wasn't that many years ago now that we lined up over here as a family on a Thursday night, and people came through. And you know what, folks? Thank God for people, and thank God for friends, and thank God for Christians. I mean that. I mean that with all of my heart. You see, folks, I think one of the things we as Christians learn from the Holy Spirit, that we learn from him, is how to be a comforter to other people. And people that reach out to people in need and reach out, and I mean, they seem to have a gift when it comes to encouragement. When they seem to have a gift to sense a hurt in somebody's life and to know what to say and to know what not to say. I believe this. I believe that's evidence in their life of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, because none of us know how to do that without his help. And here it wasn't that many days ago that there we were. And then that night, standing there in line, and all of the folks, God bless them, that came through. But folks, listen to me. Sooner or later, the people are gone. Come on, those of you that are, I want you to just take this story and marry it to your life experience. I don't care what you've gone. I don't care how hard people try. And God bless them. Thank God for every comfort that they bring. But sooner or later, watch this, people are gone. And sooner or later, people get busy on with the next thing in life. And sooner or later, people move on. And I'm not upset with them. Hey, that I do it too.
And you know what? Then comes the quiet times, and then comes the lonely days.
I remember that Thursday night as people came through and they greeted our family. And what strength and encouragement we got from that. And most of you, many of you were there that night. And then I took Cheryl home and we're at the house. And I think I've said this before. You know, I don't know who started the whole thing about awake, but I went to the house and it just bothered me. It just bothered me that I know Dad wasn't here, okay? I get that. But still, it just bothered me that he was here in the church by himself, his body was. And you begin to think to yourself, good night, people break into church. I don't know all the thoughts that came through my mind, but I finally told my wife, I tried to go to bed, and I finally said, you know, I'm going to go to the church. And here the next day, I've got to stand and preach a funeral. The next day, I've got to stand and give the eulogy for my father. And I came over here and I didn't turn off all the lights. I left the platform lights on, and it was dark in here. And I came in and I sat right there where Richie's sitting right there. And I sat right there where Richie is and had my Bible and got to sit there and prepare my heart. And I sat right there and prepared the message that I was going to preach the next day. And let me just say this, folks. Watch this. When everybody else is gone and everybody else has done the best they can, and thank God for it, and you're by yourself and it's quiet, you're still not alone. And the one who is masterful at comfort comes and envelops you. And the one who's masterful at comfort comes alongside you. I mean, the word comforter there literally comes from the Greek word paraclete, which means to come alongside of. And on that night, I can testify. Watch this, folks, listen to me. There wasn't no bright light. There wasn't no audible voice. But I will tell you this, sitting there that night, preparing to preach my dad's funeral, I can tell you this, the Holy Spirit of God was as real to me as he's ever been in my life. And folks, listen to me. That's one of the reasons God has sent him, to be the comforter in your life. I'm comforted by his presence. Number two, I'm comforted by his power. By his power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the things that he has come to do in my life is to give me power when it comes to witnessing. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You soul winners will know what I'm talking about. And those of you that aren't soul winners, I hope this inspires you to head down that road and get on that path. But there's nothing more exciting than to take the power of the gospel and seek the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and to go out and be a witness and feel, watch this, feel participation, co-laboring alongside the Spirit of God in sharing the gospel with a lost person, and watch the miracle of salvation take place in their life. Have you ever thought about the gospel? You ever thought about the assignment, the great commission that God's given us? When Jesus left, he basically said to the disciples, he said, hey, I want you to be witnesses. Witnesses of what? He wanted us to share the gospel. He wanted us to share the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I share that story with you? There was somebody named Jesus. And by the way, he is a member of the triune God, who is one God, yet three gods. Now that's the story I've got to try to explain when I go out there. And by the way, he had no beginning, pre-existed, never had a birthday. We'll never have a funeral. Amen. I mean, he's eternal. And he came down to earth one day, born of a virgin. I mean, if the Lord would have changed things up a little bit, made it a little more believable, it wouldn't be so hard to convince me. This is what I got to tell him. He's born of a virgin. And then he grew up and lived a perfect, sinless life. All right. Then he died on the cross, and his blood, by the way, when he died on the cross, he paid for the sins of all mankind, everyone that's ever lived, everyone that was living, and people that had not even been born. That's who I'm trying to talk to, the person that hadn't been born when that happened. And then they put
put him in a tomb, and he laid there for 3 days, and then the stone was rolled away through the power of God, and Jesus rose from the dead, and now he sits up at the right hand of the Father, and he's willing to forgive us of our sins and save us if we'll call upon him. Now, that's the story that God says, go tell everybody and get them to believe. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get people to believe this? Do I believe it? Yes. Is it true? 100%. But I'm going to somebody that has no reference point, and I'm going to somebody and trying to, I mean, of all the things that you've tried to, come on, kids, you ever tried to convince your parents of a story that basically was unbelievable? About every day, right? And, but yeah, come on now. And you know what? About halfway through it, your mom starts going, son, this ain't even making sense. And I think to myself, now I'm supposed to go out, take a New Testament, and I'm supposed to knock on doors, and I'm supposed to tell that story, and somehow that person is supposed to believe and accept that story with all of their heart. How's that going to happen? Because the gospel has power, and because of this promise, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Folks, listen to me. Absent of the participation of the Holy Spirit of God, it is impossible to get anyone to believe what I just told you. But the scriptures, the Holy Bible contains great power, and the Holy Spirit indwelling with us will baptize us and fill us with a unique anointing so that when we go out and witness, people are moved, people fall under conviction, people believe because of what the Spirit of God is doing in their life. And I get to be a part of that. Now that's a comfort to me. I'm sure glad that God didn't say, Jesus didn't say, now I'm going to die and I'm going to be buried and I'm going to raise again and then I'm going to spend 40 days and then I'm out of here. And by the way, you know what? All three of us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will be in heaven. We're rooting for you. Go tell the world that. I'm so glad that when I go out and witness and go out soul winning, I do not go by myself. And there's great comfort in that. Let me just say this kind of in parentheses, and I'm not going to spend time on it. But listen, you know why I want so bad for you to become a soul winner? Because you know what? You are never, never, never going to get things right in your life and get things clean in your life until you begin to obey the Great Commission. Nothing will cause you to deal quicker with your sin and stop making excuses about, well, this isn't wrong, that isn't wrong, this isn't wrong. You go out there and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You go out there powerless, and you know what? Pretty soon you'll say to yourself, well, why isn't people listening? And why won't, listen to me, folks. We need the power and the anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God if we're going to do God's work. Forget trying to preach standards to somebody, a Christian that won't go soul winning. Forget trying to preach separation to somebody who won't go soul winning. People who drop their standards, drop their soul winning. You know why? Because they know that they're wasting their time. They have no power. And what I'm saying is this, obey the Great Commission. But don't just obey it. Listen, there were 10 days spent in an upper room getting ready to obey the Great Commission. There was tarrying up there. There was a time spent seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There was time spent emptying themselves of self and sin. And so many times we go out and try to obey the Great Commission without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and nothing much happens. And so we give up on it. There's nothing wrong with the gospel, folks. Look inside. Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with you? And what we need today is a fresh a turning, a fresh anointing when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm comforted by His power. Power to witness. Power to preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me read it to you. And I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the gospel of the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If it was not for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if it was not for the fact that the Spirit of God has promised to join with me in the pulpit in preaching the Word of God, I'd be too scared to come out here and talk to you. But there's comfort, not just in His presence, there's comfort in His power. Nothing's more, listen, young man, God calls you to preach. I said this the other day, don't run from it, you run to it. There's nothing more amazing to me than getting up and preaching the gospel, getting up and preaching the Word of God and watching the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, preaching in the fullness of the Spirit, preaching with an anointing, preaching holy scriptures with the help of a Holy Spirit and watching supernatural work be done. Boy, that's the greatest thing in all the world. Thank God. I'm comforted by that. I mean, listen, Lord, if you're, you know what, wasn't it Moses that said, hey, if you won't go with me, don't send me. And I feel that way when it comes to preaching. I asked our senior saints to pray because of going over to Shacamack State Park just a week or so ago and preaching to almost 200 inner city Chicago kids, 7th through 12th grade. And I ask you to pray. Thank you for praying. Say, why are you so intent on getting prayer support? Because I need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to go to the pulpit not filled with the Spirit. I don't want to go to the pulpit without God's hand and touch upon my life. Oh, if we'd get hungry for that again. I went over there Monday to pray, or Tuesday to pray. It was going to start on Tuesday evening, run through Friday. And I went over there on Tuesday during the day, looked at my watch. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. I thought, they're probably not there yet. I'm going to drive over there. And I drove over to Shacamack State Park and drove into the group camp and began to walk around and put my hands on the buildings and begin to pray. Why? Because you know what, folks, listen, I want you to get this church. I want to get, listen, if you, come on, members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you better be bringing prayer support to these services. Don't you sit out there in a prayerless state. Don't walk in here after a week of never praying. Don't do that to your preacher. Don't do that to your church. Because I'm going to tell you something, if there's no prayer, there's no power. And I begin to pray and it's such an unrest in my heart and such an oppression. And I never thought of all the reasons why. I couldn't figure it all out. All I know, and I pulled out my cell phone. I felt like I need to get somebody else over here to pray. And folks, aren't you glad? There's something about united prayer. I think, well, most of our men are at work. Who do I call? And God spoke to my heart and said, you've got some teenagers over there in the Christian school who would love the opportunity to skip class. I mean, have a burden for souls. They have a burden for souls. And I called Brother Reiser and I said, I just need you to bring the 7th through 12th graders out here. And folks, you can laugh at this. Go ahead, mock them all you want to. I know you got it all figured out. You don't need God. You don't need prayer. You don't need Holy Spirit power. But yes, you do. Yes, you do. Boy, here come a van load of our kids. And they come in and I met with them. And I said, guys, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing out here. And I need your help. And boy, I watched our teenagers 2x2. I said, I want you to go to every cabin. I'm watching young ladies on their knees, putting their hands on the side of cabins. Young men on their knees, putting their hands on the side of cabins, praying for those that will be staying in those cabins. Over there in the preaching facility, praying against that building, walking the camp, praying. Here comes a van in. I thought, well, here comes some of the people from the camp that's coming in. No, it was a DNR van. And as the doors opened, out stepped a lot of other people. And they were all in specific uniforms. And all of a sudden, I realized that they were using convicts to help do volunteer work in the camp. And about 8 or 10 of them get out. And I start looking around thinking, where's our teenage girls at? I really begin to pray at that point. I really begin to pray. And those men got out and they begin to move tables around, do works. And boy, they're looking around and you can see them. And boy, they're looking around, and there's these teenagers and they're praying. Come on now. Come on now. Folks, listen to me. When Tuesday night came and I got up to preach, there was power. And when Wednesday morning came and there was power. And Wednesday night came, there was power. Listen to me. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, if you want to turn this thing into something it's not, you turn it into whatever. You want to point fingers of accusation against this preacher. I'm not uplifting Jerry Ross in any way. I'm saying this. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we're nothing. And we can do nothing. And nothing supernatural happens. And thank God, by the time the week was over, 21 young people had gotten saved. 21 young people got saved. And I'm going to tell you, many other teenagers, Christian teenagers, on their face getting sin right in their life and confessing sins and getting relationships right. Folks listen, hey, preacher, wow, man, you tell me those stories. I wish more of that would happen around here. So do I. So do I. I pray as hard for this service as I do for the when I'm out preaching somewhere else. Are you praying? Hey, listen to me. You willing to empty yourself of sin and self? You want to see? Hey, you know what? You know how many miracles we see? As many as we really are willing to pay the price to see. Come on. Come on. You want to play at this thing? Okay. Come on. You queens of carnality. You kings of carnality. You know what? You want to play at this thing? Quenching the Spirit of God, sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life. Never pray, never crack a Bible open. Then you want to come and see the windows of heaven open. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen, there's power available to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But it's going to take some Christians getting serious. Listen, aren't you glad? The Comforter has come. The Comforter's come. We're not going to stand at the throne of God and be able to point a finger of accusation and say, well, you don't understand, Lord. You gave us an impossible task, and you left us all alone. He's going to look down and say, I gave you a possible task because there isn't anything impossible with me. And I gave you a member of the triune God to live inside of you. We have no excuses. We have no excuses except for this, selfishness and sin. It's holding back the floodgates of blessing, I think, even upon this good church. Boy, I want us to get serious about it. I'm comforted by his personality. Let me finish with this. I'm comforted by his presence, his power, and his personality. Can I give you the Comforter's two primary personality traits? Here they are. Holy, he is holy and he is humble. He's holy and he's humble. Let me remind you, folks, that the Spirit has a first name. The Bible calls him the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that are being done. There's a lot of things that the Spirit of God is being credited with that he has nothing to do with. I got a brochure the other day. Come on now. I mean, it's Sunday morning, but we might as well just put it down where it belongs. I get brochures from everything. If you saw what comes in the mailbox, some of it, I mean, good night. We open the mailbox. Good thing we have a big one sometimes, like 2 days worth of mail, and they can't fit anything. Junk mail. Forests, entire forests are cut down just to provide the junk mail that comes into our mailbox. I got the point now where I just pick up the mail in the vehicle. I drive right over to the dumpster, and I sit there and roll my window down and go, dum, 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 because it saves me from filling my trash can up in my office. The other day I'm flipping through it and all of a sudden I stop and I said, oh my goodness sakes, why is this being sent to a church? Here's a glossy brochure about this big, front and back, and a glossy brochure, and all it has on both sides is beach scenes. Teenagers running around scantily clad. I'm talking about bikinis. I'm talking about indecency. Come on now. I'm talking about indecency. And the entire thing is an advertisement for a Holy Spirit Field Beach Ministry. And I'm like, whoa, Cape. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world? Folks, I don't know. I'm not sure where all the parameters are when it talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. But if you haven't crossed that line, if they haven't crossed that line, they're right in the neighborhood of it. There are a lot of things people are saying. Well, hey, you should, well, you're judging. You know, you've never been to one of those meetings. I've been there, and you can feel the Spirit move. And you know what I tell them? Well, the Bible says try the spirits because there's spiritual activity. Yes, there is, and spiritual presence in some of these places, but it's not the Holy, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God never told any of you young ladies, and I'm not trying to be nasty, I'm not trying to be filthy, but the Holy Spirit of God never told any young lady or any woman in this church to take your clothes off and put a bikini on and run around half naked, good night, 9/10 naked on a beach. You know what? The Holy Spirit's never told you to do that. Never told you to put a pair of shorts on. Come on now. What I'm saying, it's about time. Listen, what we want is we want the power of the Holy Spirit, but we want to profane the holiness of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Thank God. Listen, I thank God for his personality should influence our personality. the Holy Spirit of God and his presence in my life will always drive a person towards holiness. If there's a spirit that's pushing you towards worldliness, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always sanctifies, always sets apart, always separates us from the world and worldliness and sin. Always does. Don't you come to me and say, well, I prayed about this and the Holy Spirit told me it's okay. You better be careful what you... I'm warning you as a man of God on the authority of the Bible. I'm warning you. You're close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you come trotting to my office trying to defend sin and say, well, I prayed about it and God said, listen, you are close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. It's about time Christians begin to dress like Christians, look like Christians. And if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, you'll begin to do that. I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you. You see, here's the thing. The Comforter's come. He's holy and he's humble. This is the third part of the Trinity. And you know what? You know what Jesus said about him? He said he's not going to speak of himself. The things that I say, he will remind you of. You know what? A Holy Spirit-filled person is not about promoting themselves. The Holy Spirit has not come to earth to promote him. Self. And he's as much God as God the Son. He's come to promote Jesus Christ. He was sent by the Father to speak of the Son. If you go to a church and every Sunday you hear more about the Holy Spirit than you do Jesus Christ, you're not in a church that's filled with the Spirit. Now, if every once in a while it's right, like I am this morning, to preach a message on the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But folks, come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what you're going to hear? Jesus, 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 because that's what's going to come from the Holy Spirit. And you know what that teaches us? Watch this. Let's learn from the personality of this, and I'm done. But you see, when you are given over to the Holy Spirit and seek his fullness, it will produce holiness in your life, and it'll produce humility in your life. John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit of God rested upon him. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because he said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of his feet. He says, I must decrease and he must increase. They asked him his name. What's your name? And he said, I'm a voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. No self-promotion, no self-exaltation. I mean, he was there just to be a signpost to point people to Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, folks, listen to me. Holy Spirit fullness will produce holiness in your life and humility in your life. Are you a self-promoter? Come on. Are you all about people knowing your name and knowing who you are and knowing all the great things you've done? Or are you a Jesus promoter? And all you're about is, hey, it doesn't matter at the end of my life. Who knows me? Who doesn't know me? All that matters is how many people know Jesus because of me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit of God, that great comforter. Preacher, you mean the triune God, a member of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, comes and resides inside of people? Yes. Turns their body into the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Yes. How do I get that? I come speak in tongues? No. How do I get that? Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Repent of that sin. Turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. And you know what? You will be sealed to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. There's so many more things we could speak about. Dear Holy Spirit, I thank you for being that comforter. Thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you for your power, dear God. Thank you for your conviction to help me to be what I ought to be, to do as I ought to do. Oh, Holy Spirit, please never stop convicting me. Please. Please. God, I want you to just be able to whisper something, it be done. I want you to just point at something. If it's supposed to be gone, help me to, Lord Jesus, remove it immediately. May we, dear God, have always a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Thank you that you did not leave us comfortless. Thank you, Jesus, that you explained to your disciples, it's better, it's expedient that I go away. I'm going to send another member of the Godhead. Only he's not going to just be with you. He's going to be in you. Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for that great gift. May we seek his power. May we be conformed into the image of Christ by the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. May we win souls. May we preach in power, dear God. May Sunday school teachers find out the difference that could happen in a class when they seek the fullness of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray, please, that you'd meet with us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you may be here today, and the honest truth is you've never received Jesus as your Savior. If you died right now, you don't know for sure that you go to heaven. Let me say this, God loves you. He sent his Son to die for your sins. And if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of your sin, and the Spirit or the Father is drawing you to himself, would you please respond to that and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And then those of us that are saved, help us to be very attentive to what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to our hearts about. Help us to listen to him. Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.